Okay, good afternoon, committee. We're calling ourselves back into committee. And so the time I have is 12:32. And so the next item on our agenda will be item number 6, which is ONCA 25-92, which is an act to recognize electronic transactions as legally valid and to establish an alternate effective date. And I'm the sponsor of this bill. If the committee wants, we could turn it over to the vice chair, but I actually did this as a courtesy sponsor, so I don't know how the committee feels, but is that okay, Congressman Hamilton, for you to take over, please?
Yeah, I can take over.
Thank you.
Okay, you have the floor. Go ahead. Oh, you can defer to Chris.
Oh, it's just one paper. It's my paper.
Okay.
Can you? Whoa. Steep angle. Okay. All right. All right, Madam Chair, committee, speaker, thank you for allowing me to be here. What ONCA 2592 is trying to accomplish is to give us equal footing to do long distance loan closings. Basically what we have is an issue where right now we can't do remote closings on property or other things, and we have to have wet signatures by both parties. We have found with the volume of lending, which you'll see reports when we talk about how we've done this year compared to last year, 3 times the amount of lending, it's been difficult sometimes for a spouse to be at the same site. Maybe they work in different communities or whatever, or the distance has been difficult to get wet signatures on promissory notes. I'm sure in your own banking experience, you've done digital signatures for a loan. This is a normal part of our growth pattern. I first worked with Clint at the AG's office, and then we brought some information generally to Congresswoman Rivard and to work with Clay to basically put us on a footing to where the law would be similar to what is applicable in all other states for financial institutions. So it's there. I can see some corollaries to tribal departments as well needing digital signatures, but this language is more pertaining to banking. What could happen, it hasn't happened, but what could happen is because we're relying on Osage Nation sovereignty, and predominantly Osage courts as our primary course of action, a judge could throw out a secured piece of property and a promissory note if it had a digital signature without a law like this in place. So we have not yet done long distance or digital signatures. Our systems can certainly do that. And especially if we do more loans in the business space with real property at closing agents, at title companies, this would be very advantageous to us. It could also be advantageous, a variant of this, for other tribal departments that take digital signatures for tribal programs that already do that. So the main idea is we don't want to accidentally, in a court for a judicial decision, have a secured loan all of a sudden now become unsecured. So that's the simplest version of why we need it.
Okay, any questions? Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you. What other departments you mentioned within the nation take signatures via electronic means?
I've seen, and again, I'm not privy as a non-Osage member, but I've seen a lot of departments do applications for social services and other programs and verify income. And I've certainly also seen that in my tribe as well. The only thing I think you risk there is that a Osage court could throw out the signature and say, you know, that they, you know, that's not valid. So I don't think this is necessary for them yet. I do think it's very necessary for us in the banking space.
Okay. Loans and program services aside, right? The member is getting something, be it a loan that they have to pay back for you all, versus a service where, a service, right? Or perhaps that service does require or is require or is giving money, but maybe at a smaller amount. would there be, how is that like protected for like, okay. So I did a car note not too long ago with the National Institute of Health, my federal credit union in Washington, D.C., and they do allow for electronic signature, but everything is encrypted and coded. And I mean, listen, there was a lot of hoops I had to jump through in order to do that. And while it was a pain, it did make me feel like, it's not just anyone that can sign my name. They're making sure of that. What protections will you all have in place if this?
We already have in our loan software encrypted digital signatures as a possibility. We aren't utilizing it yet because we wanted to make sure that there couldn't be an accidental case of someone throwing out a promissory note in Osage Nation Tribal Court.
Okay.
So we have similar encryption and protections with our existing loan software that we would implement once this is approved.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Chair.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you. I don't know that there's a place or a need for, I guess, in the law per se, but so I've had a circumstance where when I was in college, I became the co-signer of a student loan that was ultimately mailed to a parent of mine, and the school didn't actually receive it, and so I am still on the hook as a co-signer for a loan that I didn't actually co-sign for, but they had all of my information in order to do an electronic signature at the time, and I didn't find out about that loan until I was in my 30s. Anyway, my concern is then if on the identity protection portion, like kind of what Congresswoman Goodfox was just talking about, is there a place, and I think this is a policy issue, probably not a law thing, but like if you all are closing on loans, that you could possibly Zoom with the parties to do a face verification against their ID to ensure that it is that person clicking on all the DocuSign type things, because
we can look into that. We do a very diligent process on what's called PII in banking, personally identifiable information, to make sure the person we're dealing with is who we're dealing with. And typically on closings, unless it's a long, long distance, we will have at least one representative there who has seen the IDs. So it's just a matter of, for one, it gives the majority of our clients, over 90% historically, are Osage members so far, but it gives them an element of convenience. But also for us, as the institution that's wholly owned by Osage Nation, having this law would protect against the possibility of having a promissory note that all the due diligence, all the asset, all the collateral, all the cash went out. Everything went out in a very methodical, measured way, but now all of a sudden, because of a judicial choice, is deemed invalid signature. So now that's an unsecured liability, and it's a very likely loss at that point on a large amount of capital for a loan. So what I'm really looking at it, convenience is one piece. That's not the main piece. The main piece is to keep a secured loan being thrown out for a digital signature. That's why I haven't implemented it yet.
Any other questions? Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. So I also, you know, noticed you felt like it was important to include information about the notary. And I'm glad that you did, because I feel like that's another place where our folks are going is electronic. And I think is it Ron? I think there's a word for that they use now with the to notarize, because I think actually when we had implemented one of the programs during ARPA, they were asking for documents to be notarized, and that was an issue, was getting somebody to have an electronic notary or to get it notarized electronically. So in that section, under 11, when you talk about the notarization and the acknowledgement, what are we going to do to ensure that those are in step?
And I read the bill for the first time today and then brought it back to Clay, the attorney, gave him some source bills. That section 11, how we would implement that, I can't give you a direct answer. I can tell you that three of my staff are notaries now. We can look into making sure that the chain of evidence, one of the best advantages of a digital signature is every piece, when someone documents, identity, a code is created, a chain of evidence is created. So we would have to implement the notary process somewhere in that. But the specific language of how we got from my simple idea to the final bill, and I don't have it in front of me. I gave my copy back to Clay with a few recommendations. And so we can manage to do that. The how, I don't yet know to answer.
Yes, in response, because I was going to say, I feel like if they're not in sync, it's going to hold up everything, because I've had to use, you know, to utilize this before. And again, kind of like what Congresswoman Goodfox said, it actually was a video. It was an audio video call where they had to see me, and then the notarized electronically, and they did, and it was real quick, but yeah, they had to see me.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that you kind of brought that up, but when I actually did was to be able to notarize some documents electronically, I had to. That was through one company. Now, I don't know how the nation, if they've talked about it or thought about it in any way, but I'm glad that we're talking about it now, because I think this is where the future is going, where we are now, I should say. We're here. We might be a little bit behind, in fact, but I would prefer that the committee, maybe as we go through this, I'd like to keep it in committee. I also know that Congressman Potts has some amendments, and he may be joining the call if he can. If not, he has told me that he may have some possible amendments, and I'm sure he's going to share those with everybody. But I told him that I would let the committee know that those are his wishes. But this is one piece that I would like to see, make sure that they're in sync.
Yeah, and as far as how we would do that, our internal practices and procedures is how we would define that in our loan closing procedures. So yes, we would have a means of verifying. The how, I don't know yet, but I will design something.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, Chair would entertain movement on this.
Motion to postpone ONCA 2592 to the call of the chair.
Got a motion made. We have a second. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
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 Okay. Motion is approved to postpone ONCA 2592.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If anything else, you know where I am.
Okay. Thank you.
Next, I relinquish the chair back to Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you, Mr. Colvin, for coming over today. The next item is ONCR 25-20, which is a resolution declaring congressional consent and approval of the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board's annual plan of operation for fiscal year 2026, and Congressman Big Horse is the sponsor of this resolution this year. I've also added an executive session, but I have actually reached out so that we could discuss this more so on Friday in detail. But if the committee wants to talk about the plan in general, we can. I would imagine everybody's already read the plan. We kind of know what they're asking for. And in that, if there's questions, you know, that you guys may have that we could get better answers, I wanted to tell you that the CEO reached out this morning, and Ms. Pearson, and said that there were amendments to the plan that the board made, and that they are going to be sending those down electronically, and they'll be delivering them in person as well. I just wanted everyone to know that that plan that we've received will be amended somewhat. I'm part. Who said that? Oh, okay. Bonna, are you on the call? Are you wanting to speak?
No, I'm sorry. I accidentally hit the button. I apologize.
Okay, so all right, then everyone joining the call via Zoom, please mute. Thank you. Okay, there, committee, I'm leaving it up to you. So we either we can revisit this on Friday, or if you want to talk about it today, I'm open. It's Friday, I'm hearing. Friday from, okay, speaker. Are you guys okay with visiting the plan Friday then? Unless you guys had any questions. Congresswoman Goodfox, did you have any questions about the gaming plan right now before we go? It, we have some amendments coming. I wanted to let you, the committee, know that.
Amendments for the?
To the plan.
Oh, from the board.
Yes, CEO Pearson reached out earlier today to let me know that they were sending amendments electronically, and then they'll have them hand delivered. So okay. I just want the committee to know that the plan we have right now, we'll have amendments.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'm good with. When will we have them? Before Friday?
Yeah. Oh yeah. She knows.
Oh
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good with discussing the plan on Friday.
Okay.
And waiting for the amendments, because I don't want to sit here and spend our time talking about something that could go away.
Listen, and I think that I thought we could keep this on the agenda throughout session. I'm not in a big hurry to get this plan out. Unless you guys are whatever y'all want to do, but I think we also have the LLC's plan that we have to look at. So what I've done for Friday was to invite them to be here maybe an hour apiece. We just started off. Does that sound good? Okay. Then from what I'm hearing, then our next item on our agenda would be adjournment. And so without objection, we'll adjourn until Friday.